Would you turn to Matthew chapter 13 tonight? Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at I would consider it a very familiar passage, very familiar parable that the Lord uses to teach and illustrate a practical, what I think is a practical truth and application for the life of every believer, and I hope that our hearts and our minds would be challenged by it. Looking tonight at beginning at verse number 1, we're going to read down through verse number 9, and then we'll go a little bit further, later in our time together. But beginning at verse number 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. We find these first nine verses begin the introduction of a parable, of all the parables that Jesus used to teach, perhaps this is one of those that is more well known. And I believe that it's designed to teach the believer and the truth, or to illustrate the truth, that only a prepared heart can and will receive the gospel message. And I think that's important for us to understand, but that's, I believe, the truth that's being illustrated here. And the gospel has a way of coming in contact with every kind of person. But the Bible teaches very clear that it's only those who have been readied by the Spirit that would be saved. And those would be the ones that produce fruit that would glorify God. And because we know that's true, those are also the teachings of Jesus himself. This parable gives to us, I think, answers to questions that we might have regarding witnessing, preaching, evangelism, why some are saved, why others are not. And I think that's an interesting thought, or it's an interesting thing that we wrestle with, especially in our own family. We would have, if salvation were of our doing, whether for ourselves or for others, there would be no one that we cared about that would be lost. We would ensure that those would come to Christ at the earliest of age, and we would ensure that they stayed in the fold. But we don't have that opportunity. In fact, oftentimes we might ask in churches like this, we might say, my stars, how could a lost person sit under a message like that and not come to saving faith? How is that possible? And while that seems pretty complex, and I guess in some regards it is, the answer really lies in the simple fact that their heart has not been prepared by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we see people make professions of faith. And if you've been around church any length of time, or ministry any length of time, you've seen this. We see people that they may make a profession of faith, and then you never see them again. And so you wonder, was anything about that genuine? Were those individuals really saved? Well, if we look at the parable that Jesus uses to illustrate this truth to us, we would walk away with the answer of most likely not, because the evidence is in the fruit that is produced, and that's the picture that Jesus gives to us, and we'll look at those verses in just a little bit later. But seed that is sown into a soil that is not prepared is one that is it's simply not conducive to life or to fruit. But then there are those that that hear the gospel. They come to the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him by faith and in obedience. Their life changes. They begin a service of the Lord, and we watch them. And what is our response to that? Is it, wow, that must have been a great evangelist, or that must have been a wonderful preacher that preached that? No, that's not it at all. We look at that, and when we see the fruit that is produced, and when we see that life that has changed, we say, wow, what a work of grace that God is doing in that heart and in that life. And that's because salvation is not our doing. And salvation for ourselves is not our doing, and salvation for others is not our doing. I know if you're here and you're a parent, you probably had this conversation over and over, that we would like to see evidence of fruit sooner. Sometimes we would like to see more fruit, and we would love to be able to control those things, but that's the work that the Lord does. Our job, according to the parable, I think that we as believers are likened unto the sower of the seed. We're the ones that we have a responsibility, not necessarily to control the soil. We have a responsibility not necessarily to produce the fruit. We have a responsibility that exists primarily in sowing the seed that is given to us. And the seed is that opportunity for us to be able to present the gospel. So I want us tonight, while I believe that the main thrust of this passage really revolves around the types of soil that that seed is sown into, but tonight I want us to look at the look more in depth than at the soil. I want us to look more in depth at the sower. And not a lot is said there, but I do think that there's enough that's said that we can draw a conclusion that should encourage our hearts about what our responsibility is concerning the work of sharing the gospel message. And I certainly think there's comparisons that we can make between the sower and our responsibility as believers. So let's look at a couple of things. Look with me at verse number 3. And he, that's Jesus, spake many things unto them in parables. And here's the first one. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. A sower went forth to sow. I think that when we look at the sower, I would outline this passage in three thoughts. Number one, his mission. Number two, his method. And number three, his measure. And when we look at the mission is pretty simple, isn't it? If you look at what Jesus says that this sower set out to do, he went forth to sow. You know, that was his mission, and I know that seems pretty complex, right? Or it seems perhaps overly simplified for a Bible study, but it's true. His mission, the one thing that he had on his mind was there was a potential harvest in his hands or in his barns or at his access. There was seed that needed to get into the ground. It was seed that had been prepared. It was seed that had been stored. It was seed that was going to be useless until it was put into the earth and given the opportunity to produce a harvest. So this sower has one desire as he goes into the field, and that's simply to get his seed into the soil as the opportunity presents it. He wants to plant a crop so that he can get a harvest for a proper season. And this mission, I would say, is a pretty logical one too. The seed, and it makes any good sense that for a farmer or a harvester or a sower, to have seed in their possession is only for one purpose, and that's to produce a crop or to bring a harvest. Seed in its seed form is never as valuable as when it has germinated and produces its fruit. Seed, whether it's in the barn, whether it's in the cellar, whether it's in the store shelf, wherever it is, even in the spreader waiting to go, it has no comparison in its potential as the seed that is actually sown into the earth. I would just take a moment and remind us this evening that God did not give us the gospel, and God did not bring salvation to us just for our own sake. He didn't give us the gospel so that we could hoard it up, keep it to ourselves or that of our own household, and just rejoice and live basking in the blessings that we have. He did not give us the seed of his word so that we might allow it to, for lack of a better term, rot in the barn. No, no. He gave it to us that we might be sowers of that seed, and that we might have a purpose of going forth to sow in the lives of others. But that's not just an inference that we draw either, is it? Because Matthew chapter number 13 is a parable that Jesus is teaching specifically to a very large crowd of people. Now, I can't help but imagine analyzing scripture, you always think about who the author is. You always think about who the audience is. And so Jesus, as he's dealing with a multitude of people, and he's talking about this parable that is alienating some people, he mentions four groups of soul, four types of soul, and three of them are lifeless, death, ending in death, and produce nothing. Three of them are wasteful types. And I can't help but imagine that there are those that are in that congregation that Jesus is speaking to saying, I wonder if he's talking to me. Or perhaps there are those that, smitten with conviction, say, wow, that hits home. He is talking to me. But in this congregation of individuals, Jesus, or in the parable that is teaching, we don't just draw the inference that Jesus is making these connections. Verse number 20 down through verse number 24 give us that as well. But Jesus specifically tells his disciples, he gives them a command that they are to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He does that in each of the gospel. In Mark, he specifically uses the word preach. In Matthew, he uses the word to teach, teaching them to observe all things. Jesus makes it clear that there is a responsibility for those that have received the gospel message, for those whose lives have been transformed, that they have a responsibility to take that seed, and their job and responsibility isn't to convert people. Their job and responsibility isn't to produce fruit. Their job and responsibility is to be a sower of seed as the opportunity presents itself. And so here, God's mandate to his people, as we see repeated in the gospel, Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, we see it over and over, Jesus teaching that the responsibility, the mandate for us is that we take the gospel and that we share it by sowing seeds as the Lord gives to us the opportunity. So I probably should have prefaced this in the introduction. This is a message that I need, perhaps more than any of you. This is something that I absolutely struggle with in meeting a responsibility. There are so many conversations that happen in the course of a day or in the course of a week as you travel around or as you go day to day, and it sometimes is just not convenient. It is not pleasant. It is not something, it's not the conversation that I want to have. And I pray that the Lord continues to smite my heart with conviction that that's the response. That's the most important thing. More than any other reason, more than any other purpose for having a meeting or being introduced to individuals, it's a responsibility that we have, that I have as a believer, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I struggle with that. I oftentimes hear of those that are hurting. And maybe you're like me, so often it's easier to share just some practical advice or practical wisdom with them than to share with them the painful truth of the gospel or the obvious truth of the gospel. Or in business adventures or business circles, sometimes I'll hear of those that are just simply blinded by the God of this world. You can hear them spewing their lies and believing that one of this world's systems is going to rescue them or going to help them. And oftentimes I'm much more inclined to give them an alternative political view than share with them the truth of the gospel or sow the gospel seed. But that's not my responsibility. My responsibility isn't to give them just the practical advice or give to them alternate explanations. My responsibility that I have as a believer and as one that has been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ is to be a seed sower. So my question would be, do we have a burden? Is there a desire that we have? Is that our mission? Have we made it our mission? And have we accepted that mission to share the gospel and to take the opportunity as the Lord gives them to have those conversations and to point people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to share that with them? But notice verse number four, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up, and some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Now, really, the only commonality that we see between those that were on the good ground, those that were on the wayside, those that were on the stony places, and those that were on the thorny places, the only thing that Scripture gives to us that those four locations have in common is that there was seed sown there. There was seed, so that's the only connection that they have. There's no connection in the parable that the Lord gives that talks about the preparation of the soil, that this man was responsible for the preparation of the soil. We're left to kind of wonder about that. The only commonality is that there was seed that was sown in all of these locations, and the results were beyond that of the sower. The results were up to the Lord. So that brings us to our second thought of the method. We looked at the mission. The mission is simple. Sow seed. That's our responsibility. The method. How do we do it? How do we do it? And I will tell you, I would appreciate and can appreciate a very good detailed explanation. Can't you? I mean, social media has taught us that we can be very visual learners. We can find a video on YouTube or TikTok or on X, and we can see. And there are people that they have become influencers and very well known by making practical videos to teach people how to do things. And I can learn that way. I can appreciate a good example. But sometimes there are things that it just seems too practical to be true. You look at the instructions for some of your kids' toys, and if it's only a one pager, I know I'm in trouble. I need more pictures than that. But Jesus gives to us very simple, or he lays out for them a very simple method. And as he went, and when he sowed, that was his method. His method did not involve pictures, and it did not involve building the most elaborate spreader, and it didn't involve putting a geofence around this particular batch of seed so that he could track it, and it didn't involve any a logarithm or Excel spreadsheet so that he could trace the results. It was just simple. He says, hey, look, here's the seed. It's got to get to the ground. My responsibility is to go and sow. We'll see what happens. And that's the responsibility that we have as believers. And our methods oftentimes our mission gets lost in a complicated method. I can remember as a kid, and a teenager, working a bus route. And I enjoyed working a bus route. We worked a bus route over in the Republic area. So those of you that are around, that lived around here, grew up around here, you know the general area, Republic, Brookside, in that area. We worked a bus route, and oftentimes, well, every Saturday we would go out and visit, knock on doors, and then we would go visit those that were regulars on the bus route. But we would have seminars. We would have seminars that taught you how to share the gospel, and we would have seminars that taught you, you know, how they would give you strategies. I remember them telling us specifically, you know, you always walk all the way down one side of the street. Don't zigzag back and forth because you don't want the people in the house to see you and hide. Well, a lot of them hid anyway, but I remember some of their strategies and some of their tactics. And I look back on that and I say, as practical as those things perhaps were, there is an opportunity to lose the mission in overcomplicating the method or the preparation for what you're going to say. The sower's responsibility was pretty simple. Sow. And as he sowed, here's what happened. Some seed got wasted. Some seed got burned up. Some seed got trampled. But there was some that fell on good ground. And can I say to us, as we go about our day-to-day, and as we're telling and as we're sowing, mark it down. There'll be some opportunities that you say, I have no idea why I ever engaged in that conversation. And there will be some thorny conversations. There'll be some stony ones. There'll be some trodden down ones. But the Lord knows, and our responsibility and our method is simply to sow the seed. You know, if we look at the Gospels and we look at Jesus' admonition to his disciples, telling them to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If we take just that verse and look at and draw a method from that, we could draw the method in very simply in a couple of ways. First of all, we have a responsibility to go. We heard tonight from a missionary that was given an opportunity to go and was called to a place and to conditions that the most of us will probably never even be able to fathom what it's like to share and sow seed in an environment like that. But we do have a responsibility to go, and we have a call and a command to go. We're to go, and not just to go, but to go into all the world. There's no place that Scripture tells us is off limits. There's no people or no group that's beyond the bounds. There's no soul that's described that should be abandoned or that should be neglected. We're to go everywhere. We're to tell everybody. The emphasis is that we go and that we share and that we tell. Our going, our telling. The narrative or the translation is as you go or as you're going. And it's to be a lifestyle. It's to be something that we that we do. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, we are to be living epistles. I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3 where he tells them, ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart, we have a responsibility that as we're going, we're living that life. But don't downplay that. There's a responsibility. The word preach and the word teach gives to us the clear admonition that we have a responsibility to share the message of Jesus Christ. The problem is sometimes we look for methods and we look for, and when I say we, I'm preaching to myself. I've already disclosed that. We have a responsibility, but we oftentimes look for opportunities to kind of skate that with lifestyle evangelism or any reason in the world to not engage in a conversation that might be awkward. Listen, friends, we have a seed that the only hope for those divine appointments that God gives to us is that we are faithful and that we are diligent and obedient in sowing the seed as we're going. So as we're going, that's our responsibility. We're to go. We're to tell. I've already mentioned that. The word teach, the word preach, we have a clear responsibility that we are to tell others about Jesus Christ. Now, I know it can be a daunting task. In fact, it is becoming more daunting, I would argue. I remember when I was a kid, we would go visiting every Saturday. Every Saturday, we were out knocking doors. And I could probably count on one or two, or on my hands, the number of times and memories that I have of people that were just belligerent or rude or just downright mean. Now, they sometimes would be dismissive, and I don't have time for that, but I cannot remember a time or very many times where people were just belligerent. But lately, it seems that there is a definite shift in that, in the anger of people. I mean, just the anger and the antagonistic approach of people that just want to scoff you and laugh at you. Now, I don't pretend that we have all the answers, and don't pretend that you're going to win every debate. That's not what the Lord's called us to do. The Lord's called us to sow seed, and that's a responsibility that we have. But we oftentimes struggle with, what am I going to say? And the thought and the fear of rejection or the fear of getting asked a question that we don't know the answer to, it just paralyzes us. Well, the line of work that I do, when I first started out doing what I'm doing, I would tell you guys what I do, but don't hold it against me. Don't tell anybody else. But I'm a union rep. And one of the things that I had to do was when people would get in trouble at work, I would have to defend them. And they would get charged for something. They were late, or they got caught sleeping, or, you know, there's plenty of interesting stories, but just typical things. And I would oftentimes look for and try to find, well, who saw what happened? If it was an altercation, who saw what happened? What was it? And I would ask those people, hey, we're going to have a hearing. I need you to come and testify. And people would literally, I'm talking about, they would dodge me like the plague. They wouldn't answer my phone calls. They would say, I don't know what I'm going to say. And my answer was always simple. I'm only going to ask you to tell me what you know. That's all I want you to tell. That's all a witness is supposed to do, is just tell what you know. I don't want you to make anything up. I don't want you to imagine. I don't want you to tell me what you believe. I'm going to ask you a question. Did you see this? Did you see that? Did you hear this? Did you hear that? Answer the questions, yes or no. Just answer them honestly. That's all I want you to do. That's what a witness does. If you watch legal proceedings on TV, you'll see that a lawyer, they want sometimes to lead their witnesses, and the other lawyers, no, I only want you to stick to the facts, yes or no. Hey, as a witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ, here's the greatest opportunity that we have. I don't know what Jesus has done for you, but I know what he's done for me. And I don't know all that he can do for you, but I can tell you definitively what he's done for me. I can tell you where I was, where I would be. I can tell you where others have been, where others in my family. I can tell you what my tendencies are, and I can tell you what a difference Jesus Christ has made in my life. I can't witness a lot of things, and I can't testify about much, but I can sure tell you what a difference he's made in my life. life. And that's our responsibility. That's the method for us as we go sowing. We're telling what Jesus has done for us. Don't overcomplicate the method. The method's pretty simple. We're to go. We're to tell. We're to be involved in telling everybody with every opportunity what Jesus has done for us. And I am convinced that, as Paul taught, the level of harvest that we see, whether we see it here or we see it in eternity, that it will correspond directly to the seed that we've sown. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 6, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Moms, dads, grandparents, neighbors, employees, employers, we have a responsibility. If we want to see a harvest, especially of those that the Lord has given to us to impact, if we want to see a harvest, we must be diligent at sowing the seed. It won't happen without it. Our children won't be evangelized by accident. Our children won't be evangelized just by chance. We have that responsibility. And oh, may God smite us with conviction that we, in the simplest of terms, that as we go, we would be sowing seed. But lastly, I would point out the sower's measure. As we read this parable, it becomes apparent that the sower lost or wasted some seed. Some of it fell on seed that or on soil that was unprepared, and the seed produced no fruit. So does that make the sower a failure? What if his neighbor sowed a better plot and had a better crop? Is that the comparison? Should we get a drone, fly overhead, and see who on the block had the best crop that year? Well, I imagine that from our fleshly perspective, those are normally the measures of success. I've heard Pastor Lamb so eloquently say that most of the time in ministry, we measure things in nickels and noses. And I imagine there's a lot of truth in that. But that's not the measure of success that's found for us in the parable that Jesus gives. In fact, I think it's pretty obvious that the Lord is teaching the application that this man had no responsibility for the souls. He had no responsibility for the fruit. You know why? Partly because if he had responsibility for it, he would have wanted the credit for it. But it wasn't his work to begin with. It was the Lord's work. And I think that the man's measure of success can be measured in two thoughts. Number one, he sowed all his seed. Don't bring anything back to the barn. In modern day vernacular, leave it all on the field. The opportunity that you're given, take advantage of it. And I think his measure was successful simply that he sowed all of his seed. When the day was done, he looked and what was in a bag that came from the barn that needed to be in the ground. He wasn't responsible for the results, but he could lay his head with a clean conscience that he had sown the seed and met the opportunity and met the task for the day. And as believers, might we look for and strive for the opportunity to pillow our head at night to know that the divine appointments that the Holy Spirit has placed in our life and has put in our path, that we have met those with the opportunity to share the gospel message with others. That's his method. And his measure of success, he sowed his seed. But the other measure, I think, would be this. He sowed his field. We don't see anything about. He swept up the extra and went and intruded in somebody else's place. That's not it at all. His responsibility was to take his seed to his field, and he did that. And he sowed everywhere that he could. And hey, he spilled some along the way. There were some wasted opportunities. There's some that the bird's going to make off with. There's some that the sun's going to burn up. That's okay. He sowed his seed. He sowed his field. He can rest his head. He has met the mission. And that's our responsibility. Sow our seeds. Sow our field. And then we see the explanation that's given to us about the souls. As the sower of the gospel seed, you and I, we cannot be responsible for the kind of soil that the seed falls into. We don't get to judge the condition of the soil. We don't get to determine if it's ripe or if it's ready. We can't see the heart. Only God can. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Only He can see that. Our responsibility, sowing a seed, sowing a field. Some fell on the by the wayside. Look at verse number 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Commentators tell us that this wayside was narrow paths that would be in between the rows of crops or alongside the road, and they were well worn. And you know what happens as dirt gets well worn, it becomes compact and hard, and the seed doesn't penetrate. And so as he's sowing his seed, there's some that falls on there, and it's there, it would have had the opportunity, but the soil's not prepared. And so the birds see it, make off with it, and snatch it away. Jesus compares those, or that application is those that don't understand. Their heart's not prepared, their heart's not ready. Again, could I tell you that if we could prepare our, we can certainly help, and we can evangelize, but our responsibility is not to make sure that people's hearts are ready. Our responsibility is to sow seed. That's the job. That's the mission. That's what we have. Verse number 20 and verse number 21 talks about this stony soil. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, or he endures for a little while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. That's the stony soil, or the stony places were common in Palestine, would be rocks with a thin layer of topsoil on it. And the soil from just the naked eye would look prepared, and it would look ready, and it would look ripe. But the ground, though it looks productive, seed that's cast there has no ability to take root, has no ability to sustain life or produce fruit. It withers and it dies without ever producing fruit. The thorny soil in verse number 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This soil too looks ready and prepared to be sown, but underneath the surface are roots unseen to the eye and seeds of thorns and weeds. And when the seed goes there, it quickly springs to life and gives every indication that things are okay. But at the first test, the sun comes up. Or Jesus compares that to those that endure tribulation or the least of inconveniences. And there's no root, and they're choked out. They run after anything that catches their eye. And finally, verse number 23, we see the good soul. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Finally, he gets some good dirt to work in. Finally. The ground had been worked, it had been prepared, plowed, and tilled, was ready to receive the seed. The seed germinates in the soil. The plant begins to grow. And as that plant produces fruit, it's not just one for one. Some 100-fold. Some 60, some 30. And again, the only difference between these two, or the commonality that all of these souls had, is that they had seen a seed sown in them. And really the only difference in them is, did they produce fruit or not? The only real distinction, there's different reasons for why the Lord uses those illustrations, but the only difference in the measurement was, did they produce fruit or not? And that was no responsibility of the sower. His mission was to sow the seed that had been given to him. His method was, he was going to sow it, and sow all of it, and sow it where it was his responsibility to do it. And that is the measure of success. I would say to us, when we've taken the truth of God's word, And we've been diligent and faithful to share that in our homes, to share that with our family and with our coworkers, and to be careful that everyone in our circle of influence has at least had the seed sown their way. That is the measure of success. God doesn't command us. God doesn't command us to win souls. Proverbs tells us he that winneth souls is wise, but the command that we have is to sow seed. The command that we have is to go and to tell and to preach and to teach. That's our responsibility. And may the Lord help us to be diligent sowers as he gives us the opportunity to sow that seed.